Tav Tzarichas, Siftes, Shabbos of Katan Nun Gimel. Ali Nela Bimumai. Okay. And so the concern before we said was where that he should not have checked the animal, and then he did. So we say that in that situation, he can't check this because it's muksa. But if it's born on Yom Tov, it's not muksa because it was part of the mother until now. So the only problem is you can't. The mum issue. Well, if he did the avera of checking it, which he shouldn't have, but b'di'evet, it's going to be mutter. Al nela b'mum, hanash nela b'yom tov mum imoy leka kan mishum muksa. Shebein hashmash es hayu roy havlad lechol agavim ba'im hayu shechta. The child was roy ben hashmash es, and we say by an animal, it's not. There's no din of nela. It's not like an egg, so there's no problem with muksa. Even when it was born, it became not roy because it has it's also as a bechor until the chacham checks it. Shrei neser, because manchla hitiru chacham. Kamalchum kishanim zechacham hitiru es unless from shemuksa shrei ben hashmoshes lo hayim muksas. That's the rule which we have of something which is roy at the beginning of Shabbos or Yom Tov. And then in the middle of Shabbos Yom Tov, it becomes not roy, it becomes muksa. When that issue goes away, it can revert back and become non-muksa. Whereas if it had been not roy at the beginning of Shabbos or Yom Tov, and that changes on Shabbos or Yom Tov, it will remain muksa, because once it's muksa ben hashmoshes, it remains muksa the rest of Shabbos. And over here, it wasn't muksa ben hashmoshes. It only became muksa later on. And then it goes back to its original state, so that's not muks anymore. V'narlad tam v'humam b'v'yer. So ayin b'erlocha mat eich dinot. So now, the case we're talking about here was, it was, had a mum, so it was born already, it was considered roy ag of the mother. It was born, it's also till you, Chacham looks at it. Chacham looked at it, so now it's a mut. Scenario which Mishabur talks about now, in the case it was Nerlet as a Tom, and then it got a mum, and all, so at the beginning of, it's not considered a Kaddish until it's born. So, beginning of Yom Tov, if you were to shut down the mother at a point in time, you could eat the Vlad. And then the Vlad is born as a Tom, it's also. Now it got a mum, and the Chacham looked at it, so now it's Mutter. So, what's the difference? He brings on the Pre-Kaddish. Pre-Kaddish says that they have the same halacha. Because we hold the rule of in books of the Chatzi Shabbos. So long as Ben Hashmash, it was Roy, even though it became Nidcha afterwards, it can convert back. But he brings that the Prima Gadim and the Pechem and Moshe.
Is it Emum and Chatzi Shabbos? Then if it was born Tom, why do we worry about Emum afterwards?
In the books of the Chatzi Shabbos. So, if the beginning of Shabbos, it wasn't muksa, because it wasn't born yet, so it was part of the mother, so it was mutter. Then it's born as a tam, and now it's aser. Then it gets a mum, and the chacham looks at it, it finds out, it makes it mutter. So it can revert back to its original status of heter, which where it was at the beginning of Yom Tov.
Yeah, but you're saying
if we hold, because if we hold. Emus the Chatzis Shabbos means when it's muksa, it's muksa. But it doesn't retain the status of muksa when it comes roy again. Yesh Emus the Chatzis Shabbos means once it becomes not roy, it remains not roy, even though it remains muksa, even though now it's roy again.
Right. So, Emus the Chatzis Shabbos means it has to start out muksa, not that the muksa develops sometime during Shabbos.
Well, that means that if a muksa develops during Shabbos, it's a muksa while it's muksa. But when it comes. But if during Shabbos it then converts back to be non-muksa, it can convert back. When it's muksa, it's muksa.
Right. No, what I'm asking is that if it becomes muksa during Shabbos, then it would not be an instance of muksa v'chatzis Shabbos. It's a separate category.
No. The dinamai muksa v'chatzis Shabbos means it doesn't become niskatsa, that it can't convert back. But while it's muksa, it's muksa. Everybody agrees to that. Whether you hold ein muksa or yesh muksa v'chatzis Shabbos, when it's not roy on Shabbos, it's muksa.
Right.
It's just being now. So the case the Mor gave was that he had gargoyles that smoke him sitting on the roof. So when they're dry, they're edible. When they get wet, they get to the point where they're not edible. So he left them on the roof, and the beginning of Shabbos they were roy. Then an unexpected rain came and soaked them through, and now they're not edible. The rain goes away, and this phenomenally strong sun comes out and dries them up. And now they're edible. So if you hold Yesh Musa L'Chatzis Shabbos, they remain also the rest of Shabbos, even though they're edible now.
Right.
If you hold Yesh Musa L'Chatzis Shabbos, when they're not edible, they're muks. When they're edible, they're not muks anymore.
Right, okay.
Right, so over here, at the beginning of Yom Tov, it was roy because it was part of the mother. And you'll be allowed to eat it. Then when it was born, it became osur. So now it's muks. Now it got a mum, and the Chacham looked at it and was matur. So now it's not a problem anymore. So now it should be convert back to be mut. The problem is the more it gives the case of another b'mumay. Why does the more say the case of another b'mumay when the more could have said this case already? Seemingly indicated, but it's another tom. So he brings over here that Meiri quotes in Meiri. The Meiri said that's considered like a dich. In other words, if it's born as a tam, which is mamash and nisah deraisis to do anything with it. It's not stam. It's not roy. It's mamash and nisah deraisis. That's nitcha legamri, and that can't convert back. That's what the Meiri says.
But when it's born as a tam,
when it's born as a tam. So what's the Mor gives the case of another b'mumay. The Mor gives the case of another b'mumay. That's the case of the Gemara. So the logic, the Prima Chodesh says, should apply to a case of Nela Batam, and then I got a Mumosa, be the same thing.
Right.
Right? Both went to a state where they weren't usable because they didn't pass on it yet because it actually was a Tam. But now it's a Mum, it has a Mum. And once the Chacham was passing on it, they both should be Mutter. The Miri says, no, that's not true. Okay, Imra Hamum. Then he said, if you sell the mum erev Yom Tov, then he starts to find out if the person put it in, you know, actually went and blemished it proactively, or it happened by itself. Because if he did it, the person did it, the kenas is they can't use this mum to be mounted to the animal. So you already paskened on the mum before Yom Tov. You can remember how it happened on Yom Tov. You remember Mum Rasulam, but the Hecha Sheikar Re'iyas Abachar, Hoyber of Yom Tov. Tana Sheikin Bedino Imhu Mum Kavoy. He already decided this is a valid Mum. Huskametla Shehu Mum Gomer. Rakshal Achokar Bedorish Adayan Imloy Pasha Baal Habachor Benefilas Amum. If the owner wasn't responsible and negligent in creating the Mum, Shekhom Mum Shalanofa Me'atzma, Alcherim Gormalo Bekavana, even though they just caused it, we cannot use that mum to be mat to the animal. So if that's all you have left to do, since that is a side issue, it's not prohibited in the rule of ein roin mumim b'yamtiv. Okay. Then he said a case where an bechor fell into a boar. Even though it got a mum when it fell in, it's not roy the shachtoy. The tiltul shel tzar shchita is also. So the tiltul, since you can't shecht it, how are you allowed to move it? You can't move it. So aloysel lepernos tibim kamer. Avagav the pasuk of mechaber liabasim and tavsa design sepeis the cholder shul muksa also litzal lemezernis. So the chara of the animal is muksa. So we had two pshatim over here. Yeah. Oh, even if it's not a bechor, it was a bechor tam. Even though now it's a bechor mum, bal mum.
According to
we had two pshatim. Let me finish my
sentence.
We had two pshatim before. What the problem? What the issue was? One pshat is in Sif Beis the mechaber said, "Is anything which is muksa is also to feed?" And in Sif Zion he said, "Anything which is." There's a malacha involved in capturing it as also to feed. So according to the promise, there's a malacha involved, so here you're allowed to feed. But according to the Peshat, we said before, the Mechaber said in Sif Beis, that anything which is muksa is also to feed. You tell me over here this animal is muksa, so then why are you allowed to feed it? The answer is, it's Yirush Lo Yomus. The case is that, normally the case is the animal is not cooped up, and so let it pasture, don't feed it, let it do its own thing. Over here you can't, it's stuck in a boar, it's going to die, you don't feed it. So in order to take the loss of the animal, Chazal allowed him to feed it, even though it was muksa. So in the case where it was a time at the beginning of Yom Tov, then it fell into the boar, even if it got a mum by falling into the boar. But since the beginning of Yom Tov, it did not have a mum. So it's also the shech. So Mela, that what's the only you can do is you can't take it out, you can just feed it where it is. Okay. Sif Yud. I serve Espinosha off of the board. So what's the answer to
well, according to the opinion who holds, if it gets its mum on Yom Tov, you can't shech.
If it gets its mum on Yom Tov, you can't shech that. It was mukhs at the beginning of Yom Tov.
Oh.
Okay. A service benosh enough of the boar. So the heter to step it out of the boar is because it's tzara shechita. You can't shecht both. There's an issa d'oraisa to shecht both. So what do you do? Ma'al is a rishon amanas l'shochtei. Ve'en l'shochtei. So he takes the first one out with plans to shecht it. Chazal, we're mat over here a harama in a certain sense.
Why can't you shecht both of what?
You can't shecht the service, but no.
Mother and a son.
Mother and a son, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mother and a child. Okay, so you take one out with the potential of possibly shechting it, and then you say, you know what, maybe the other one is more succulent. It's fatter. And then because of Marim Umalus Hashem, because I would let a haroma, take the second one out, then you decide which one you want. So even though you could go straight with Hilchos Tircha and Yom Tov and Hilchos Muksa, to shep the animal for no purpose is usur. So you have to decide, like in the case of the birds, you better decide beforehand which bird you want. Over here we're Mekel because they're in the boar, and that's not comfortable or it's painful for the animal. So because it's over the time we're out of it, to take it both out. And because leaving it there might be detrimental to the animals. There's a hefset moment involved in it for the owner. So it's benight. The behemoth ba'al mashanafel, two animals which fell, v'adim mutal ha'aloi, so he can take them out. I'll be shein ha'shechem, have you noticed in shechem? Kim sh'roi li shkita, because they're potentially roi. Actually, yitzarech loi, b'asar, because they might be usable. That's fine. One you know you cannot use. So you're moving both. That's clearly shalat tzarech. Okay, in tzarech l'harm, you have to do what's called the haram. So he takes one out of an ashechtoi, nun ches. So how does that work? He finds some excuse. He says, oi, I thought I got the fatter one. Look, this is the skinnier one. Maybe the other one's better. So such a type of an argument. Material of the harm, Chazal were mat over here. This trick, mishum tzar b'lechaim, or mishum hefset b'mayim, because you have over here the element of tzar b'lechaim and the animal being stuck in the boar, and you have hefset b'mayim of the person. Okay. Rotzah zeshaychet. And once you get both up, you can do whatever you want.
What's hefset b'mayim if the animal would end up dying? If
yeah.
The
charam. I think so. Says you can shecht one or the other, but you don't have an option of shechting neither. Okay, and Harper Peskim, he will be shema Yerushalmi. The imroit zachakach shal lishchad echemehem. Can we get a reshus b'yarich? You want to shecht neither? It's also acceptable. Like upon him, hello, hello, hoyser behetzer. You had a right to take it out because you were contemplating the possibility of shechting. So that's what he brings. From the Yerushalmi. Come on, come custom providers a kiddush a rashba the royal locher shall the hachmer lishchad echem hiam shall yehei nikar haroma. So by shechting at least one, the haroma is not as obvious. And so that we should at least shecht one of them. Yud Aleph. Behema chetzer shall any Yehudi. They own it b'shutvis. You can shecht. Even though you're not allowed to do malacha and yamta for a goy, But over here, you're doing the melacha for yourself, because you can't even eat a mashu of this thing, which is yours, without shechita. So you need the whole shechita for your half. Afilu yesh lohem shtayim. Even if they have two animals. So we could have argued, listen, you know, the yid should take one, the goy should take the other, and the yid will shecht the one that he has. Let's say for argument's sake, the animals are equal. So I have one, both two animals, each one weighs 500 pounds. So, and I'm going to end up with 500 pounds of meat. I can either do that by the Jew taking animal number one and the goy taking animal number two, and the Jew shechting animal number one, or shechting both, and each one gets 250. So I would argue it would be much more logical that the Jew should take one separate animal and shecht the whole thing and take it all for himself, and then they should shecht both. Right? But the Shulchan Aruch says that's mutter. You can shecht both. So the Mishnah Berurah. Chel Samach. Chel Meshachta. Kim the Yev Shal L'Kazayis possibly Shechita. You can't even eat the smallest amount of meat. It's just a Kazayis of meat without Shechita. So, and all you saw B'Shal Akum. Klum El Atzma. He's not doing it for the goy. He's doing it for himself. We could have argued, hey, yes, there's two animals. So why doesn't the goy take one and do his business with it? The Jew take the other one and do his business, and there's no goy, there's no pshutz in anymore. And now the Jew will sheft and take all of that meat. It's better than shefting both and taking half of each. If the goy would agree, the chalkan divide it when they're still alive. And the Jew takes the one and the goy takes the other, and then the Jew shefts it. That's not necessary. Now,
what can you do instead? Shech both of
them? We can shech both of them and take half of each.
Okay.
He has shutters of the goy. So now, so the Mishnah like this. Lobby boy in a case, you may not sorrow rak chatsi behemoth the yamtiv. I only need half. So for sure over there, why should we split? I'll get a whole behemoth, and only you end up using half and throwing out the other half. I can shecht one behemoth and use the half that I get and give the other half to the goy. So if that were in Mekhaim, me to be mafs at a whole half of behemoth. In Kei Kashiyachlich, me starich, lishkai behemtoi, bishum ha basar shesarachloi, yusid ha basar hanish. So that's an area we understand it's very much why with Chazal were being made off the hefsim moment, because you're going to give you one whole animal and shecht it, and you only use half the animal. What are you going to do with the rest? Elafilu b'tzarchel kula behem. He needs the whole animal to eat. His plan is to shecht both, and each moment they'll take half and half. So the Jew ends up with the total of equivalent of one whole animal for the two animals. The guy agrees to divide. We don't tell him he should do that. The mamma is exactly equal to how the appearance, their height, their cost. We're not machayev you, so I said, like, so everything's the same. So just take one instead of shechting both. Just take one whole thing for yourself. Give him the whole thing for himself. Like everybody's happy because they're exactly the same. And you shecht yours and deal with it. We don't say that. The efshe ain a boser shal behemazu shomein. Maybe they don't taste as good one, so I'd rather have half from the very geshmaka one and half from the not so geshmaka one than the whole not geshmaka one, which I might get. Okay. Yes, Sharma. But that's only because you don't know what you're going to get. If the goy has agreed to give you the better one, so then, so what do you have? You only stand the gain, nothing to lose. So take it from him and check on that one. Also, you can't set the other one. Okay. The arrangement is anyone he shechts anything else, he only uses part of the animal. That's the scenario which we're talking about. Not, in Eretz Yisrael, they take out all the fats in the back also. Right? But there are places where the minhag was not to do that, like in America. Generally, we don't do that. So if that's a scenario, so I'm allowed to shecht because I can't eat the front part without shechting the whole thing. So I can't say, listen, I'll just shecht the front part. The back part should stay alive, you know, and you're not allowed to shecht for the back part. That's ridiculous. If he just leaves it in the skin, so he's almost doing nothing for the goy. So what's enough good if he does one or two? At the end of the day, he's doing for the Jew because he owns part of it, and he's not doing anything for the goy. So that's not us. Okay. Sif Yud Beis. Shecht b'hem v'yamtiv. So when we shecht, so one of the things which we're worried about is, especially if it's a sheep, that there's a lot of hair, which or wool, which is growing, the place you need to do shechita. So the halacha says we should take it off because A, we don't want that there to be there to cause the knife to nick, and B, because it might look like one of the you can't do what's called hachlada or chalada, where you put the knife in under the skin and you cut from there. It has to be an open cut. So when he's doing it behind the tzemer, so that's equivalent of doing it in a way which is not an open cut. So now we want to take away the hair from around the welcome shkita to address that problem. So he cannot remove the tzemer to create a place for the knife to go. He moves it to the side by his hand, and that's it. He finds where it is with his hands. He pulls to the different directions. And then, if someone gets pulled out unintentionally, that's unintentional. Some obeys. You're taking something out of its place, where it grows. After who kalach yad, that's not the normal way of doing it. Normally we remove it through shearing, not through plucking. What you're allowed to do is move it to the side by your hands. So that you're allowed to do. But not with a kli. Shum the near goises, because my said that looks pretty clear there. People say, what's he doing? He looks like he's been goises. V'im nitlish was nitlish. Remember, sur the highly double shenim is common. Shenim is common. Nitlish shel lofanus. His goal wasn't tlish. His goal was just to bend it to the side. Nitlish.
His goal was just to
bend it to the side. Well, he said that was bend the hair to the side. Yeah. Bend the wool to the side. Well, you said him come. You don't nitlish. Is that what you pull out? Is not muksa. No, I'm saying. So what do you do? Is generally we don't move. We don't actually move the hair. El yishar sham masubach im sharat semra atzar. So it remains sometimes over there with all of the other wool, and it's all the masubach. It's all mixed together and messy. If the tzemer which is on the neck was very very tangled together, very clumped together, it was not possible to be mefanet. So you can't shave it because you don't have to shave it. You can't be mefanet because practically it doesn't work. It's too tangled together to push it to the sides. So look at the vein. So mainly shushkach, you can't shecht. Kavur biyardei simen chavdalad sifches bagah. Well, how you beefshoro merv yamtiv lizeh? Shomer, the Shomer Lassus can't be Yomtiv. So in a case where he can't shechta like that, he didn't have time to take care of it before Yomtiv, let's say that would be the scenario. There's some say in that situation we're going to allow him to go to do Malacha Drabonon to address the issue of pulling out the hair. Here.